Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast on culture, history, individuals, and accomplishments. My guest today is Tony Troiano, a Chicago pizzeria owner, and this past summer participated in the pizza championships in Italy and also was a part of the longest slice pizza record in Las Vegas. Tony, thanks for being here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Alan. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm always glad to do a show with a great Italian-American individual like yourself. Tony is the owner of J.B. Alberto's Pizza in Chicago in the Rogers Park area, correct?
That is correct. East Rogers Park.
East Rogers Park. Okay. Tony, tell us about your Italian background. Start out.
Well, my parents are from Mola di Bari, Italy. So they immigrated to this country, obviously, to make a better life for themselves and for their family. I have a brother, I have a sister.
How old were they when they came here?
My parents?
Yes.
They were late 20s.
Oh, they were late 20s.
Recently married.
They were married in Italy?
They were married and came here.
Okay, none of you were born in Italy?
My brother was born in Italy.
Oh, okay. How old was he then?
He was not quite two.
Okay.
And then my sister should have been born in Italy because my mom was about 8.5 months pregnant and she had to lie about how pregnant she was to allow them to get around the airplane.
She traveled at that stage.
At that stage, yes.
Wow, okay.
And so my sister could be born here, and then I followed 2 years later.
You're the youngest.
I'm the baby. Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, did you go to Italy as a child?
We would go almost every year.
You did?
We spent summers there, so
the entire summers?
Good portion of it, at least 45 days. You know, that was kind of typical. 3 weeks was a minimum. 3 months was max. And somewhere in between, you know.
That's very nice. Did you enjoy Italy? Did you look forward to going?
I absolutely loved it. You know, we had such a huge family in Italy and a pretty small family here.
Okay.
So it was a big treat for us to see our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, just surrounded by family, food, and, you know, just silly, plain, innocent.
Mola di Bari on the beach? Is it close to the beach?
It's Mola di Bari is a port town.
Oh.
Yeah, basically, you know, for the most part, you know, fishing and obviously agriculture because there's still a lot of small farms. So, yeah, fishing was big there.
So you were going to the beach a lot during your stay in Italy?
We definitely spent a lot of time by the sea, yes.
Okay. And how close is it to Bari, the city of Bari?
Bari, we're about a 15 to 20 minute drive.
Oh, so relatively close.
Right.
Okay. So that sounds like a very nice experience.
Beautiful town, and I still love it, and wish I could go back every year, but unfortunately
life is a lot more difficult.
Life gets in the way, yes.
Yes. Well, that's awesome. Okay, great. So you're a pizzeria owner. How did you get into that? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, so when my father came to this country, obviously as an immigrant, worked for Radio Steel as on the punch presses, making the little red wagons that we know today as the Radio Flyers.
He worked for Radio Flyer?
He worked for Radio Flyer, yes.
Is that right?
And in the evenings, he would deliver pizzas.
Okay. And may I just throw out there that Radio Flyer was started and run by, and is still to this day, it was started by an Italian immigrant who started Radio Flyer, the Little Red Wagon, and his grandchildren run the company based in Chicago.
And you know what? It's great that you mentioned that because what he really did was really trying to help the Italian community back in those days.
Is that right?
And when they would come in and they were looking for work, he knew they had great work ethic. He knew the reason they came here was to make a better life for their families. And he...
That's very he nice
was,
story.
He was,
yes, because he came as a... He was a cabinet maker.
Yeah.
That was his trade. Okay, so one other question. Your parents came like in the 60s, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it was early 60s.
Early 60s.
1960, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just curious. So you said your father was delivering pizzas to make extra money.
Right. So he would work the factory during the day, and then in the evenings, he would deliver pizzas.
Okay.
And
how did this get to...
Well, half interest in the pizzeria became available during his tenure while he was delivering pizzas there, and he said, you know what? I think I might give this a shot.
Oh, so your father got into the business
originally.
Right. Oh, okay, okay. And this, and you were still a kid at this time.
I wasn't even born actually when he got into the business.
Oh,
so it was probably okay. Yeah, I was born in 62, so it was probably 61 when he got into the business.
Okay, so yeah. You grew up and he had this business.
Yep, he was in the business already, and I was 5 years old. Wiping down tables.
So you grew up with the end of this business.
I have pizza sauce in my blood.
Oh, I see. I did not know that. Okay, no, that's great. That's great. So did you want to go into it?
I loved it. It was fun for me. I really enjoyed it. It was always, pizza's fun food, you know?
It definitely is.
And I think it was the late great Pat Bruno, unfortunately, great food critic for the Chicago Tribune, who said there is no stress in the presence of pizza. And honestly, it's just fun food, and it was fun to be around. It's fun to make, and I still enjoy it to this day.
Did so then you went into it voluntarily. You loved it. Tell me about the pizzeria itself. What kind of pizzeria is it?
Well, that was another pizzeria. Then, you know, we had a little. We were gonna move back to Italy, as all Italian's dream was
really?
To go back to their country. Not mine, that was my father's. But then Alberto's became available, and we bought Alberto's. So, and that's when I kind of really stepped up my game. And
okay, is it a sit down establishment or
strictly a carry out and delivery? Yeah,
carry and delivery. Do you find that to be I don't want to say easier, but like less. Less headaches, perhaps, as far as not having a dining room.
It is. Yeah, we had a stint with fine dining for about a year. And, you know, what we realized that definitely stick to what we know best, which was carry out and delivery pizza.
Okay. And what kind of pizzas now? What's your...
We're strictly Chicago style. So we make Chicago style cracker thin crust. We make deep pan pizza, known as pizza in the pan. And then our Chicago style stuffed pizzas also.
The stuffed ones.
Correct.
What are you putting those stuffed ones?
Gosh,
anything they really want.
Whatever they want to pay for, yes.
Really?
So, yeah, but it's really all great products, all completely different doughs. You know, we don't make one dough, and it's pizza dough, and use it across the board. Everyone's got its own specific type of flour that we use in it, different mixes, different hydration levels. I mean, I can bore you with details, but in a nutshell, they're all different doughs.
Okay. So how old of a man are you?
I am 55 now.
55. So you literally are approaching like 50 years more or less in the pizza business.
Yeah, if you want to call when I was
you were around it, you were there, you were helping out.
I was grinding cheese.
Like, when did you start actually, like, you were kneading the dough and making the pizzas?
When I was, 10, 11, I was a pretty accomplished pizzaiolo already. I mean, making pizzas.
Wow.
Like, on the line making pizzas.
That's amazing.
My father had to put two Coca-Cola boxes together. They used to be wooden back in those days.
So you could reach.
So I could reach the top oven because I couldn't reach it.
Wow. And were you sticking the pizzas in these ovens?
Put them in pizza. Oh, sure.
What does that get, like 400 or 500 degrees?
But yeah, we bake it around 5, 5 1/4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
So this is like making a pizza for you is like smoking a cigarette. Not to say that you
smoke. I don't
smoke. But if you were to smoke, it would be as
easy as a walk in the park. There you go.
Wow, that's great. And you still have the drive and the passion. And
I still love it. I still enjoy what I do every day. I've surrounded ourselves. We created a really great culture inside the pizzeria. So I really surrounded myself with just a great, great bunch of human beings who share my passion for pizza.
That's wonderful.
That's what makes it fun and exciting. And I'm constantly challenging myself with different things.
Any thoughts of the second place, third place, multiple locations?
You know, I thought of that. I thought of it numerous times, even in the past, and sometimes in the present, I get those ideas. But I sometimes feel like people lose their focus, and one of the two places could start to suffer if not done well.
Very true. It's better to do one place awesome than two places so-so.
Right. You know, and finding people that, you know, like-minded people like us that really want to do things exactly the way we do it, and I get to share that passion, is becoming a little more difficult as time goes on. So.
I can imagine it is, yes.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it is for the best. Now, you have two sons.
I do.
Any possibilities of continuing the family tradition?
Well, they've certainly shown some interest in the business.
Really?
Yeah, they have. They've worked with me this summer. It was probably the first summer where they really kind of, Nick, who's he's at the Kelley School of Business in Indiana University. So, you know, obviously needs some spending money while he's out there. So he worked most of the summer.
Really?
Yeah, Marco was pretty busy with soccer, but when he wasn't, we'd we drag them in.
Well, that's nice. It's always good to have options. That's for sure.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Tell us about these pizza championships in Italy. Like, how did you even get involved? What is a pizza championship? What are they doing? The whole story.
So the World Pizza Championship is in Parma, Italy. It's held in Parma. And it's,
is this a yearly event?
It is a yearly event. It is the largest pizza competition in the world, hands down. So you have international competition from everywhere in the world.
The whole world is coming to Parma for these. Okay.
Well, the whole pizza world.
Well, but I would imagine that in this day and age, they're pretty much making pizzas everywhere, correct?
Everywhere.
I mean,
everywhere.
I would think the whole world makes pizza.
It's absolutely international. They actually have an international, one of the awards that they give out is a country award. So each country wins an award too.
So oh, I see.
Win, like the United States. You know,
okay.
Asia. There's, you know, obviously every country.
Okay. And is it a, why did you get chosen, right? You get chosen to go, and this is, you were representing the United States of America.
I was, right. There's two teams out of the United States. One is the U.S. pizza team, and the other one is the World Pizza Championships, which is run by Tony Gimignani, who happens to be a good friend of mine. And he's very selective on who he puts on the team, and I was really lucky and flattered that he chose me.
Is he based in Chicago or
he
no?
He is out of San Francisco, okay. And, you know, hands down, I would say, without a doubt, the best, most passionate pizzaiolo in the world.
Wow.
The guy is just a pretty amazing guy. I mean, he lives it and breathes it all day.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay. So how many
are... I'm fortunate to be surrounded by guys.
No, that's great. How many people, how many guys on the team?
There's, you know...
More or less.
It was larger. It just seems like sometimes people, because they run their own businesses, can't always make it. There was about a dozen of us that went last year.
So now a dozen from... The one team you were on, and then about a dozen from the other United States team?
Roughly about the same.
So, I mean, you're talking about 24 pizza makers for the entire United States of America.
That's pretty much
it. That's a pretty big honor and a small number. I would assume there's thousands and thousands and thousands of pizza makers in the United States. So
there is.
That's quite an honor.
Well, thank you.
That really is. Okay, so you go out to Parma, which is northern Italy.
Right.
I think it's in Emilia-Romagna or in Marche? Or where's Parma?
Parma is it's the northern part of Italy.
I'm forgetting the region that it's in.
Yeah, I can't think of the region.
I know that's where the Parmigiano-Reggiano cheese comes from.
We toured the Parmigiano-Reggiano plant, which was amazing.
I can imagine.
Prosciutto di Parma, we toured that plant.
As well, yeah.
Some of the liquor plants and stuff. All things that are really... you know,
to that area,
to the region. So it was, you know, you talk about how much we love those type of foods, like the Parmigiano-Reggiano, the prosciutto di Parma. But when you actually see the work that goes into it, you appreciate it. I like every time I take a bite of Reggiano now or prosciutto di Parma, I just appreciate it that much more, seeing all the work in.
Absolutely, really, and plus that's why I think the Italians are. They're crazy about, like, if you're going to call it cheese, you better not call that Parmigiano-Reggiano unless it comes from Parma, because it represents a quality, a standard, like balsamic vinegar.
Right.
Only can come from Modena.
Right.
If it's not from Modena, you cannot call it that.
Right.
There are a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, so I don't blame them. Okay, so how is a championship conducted for pizza? Like, you know, I make one, you make one, and then they taste us and they go, this guy's the winner?
Well, there's different divisions. So okay. There's a Pizza Italia, which is a pan division. There's a Neapolitan STG, which is, you know, true Neapolitan pizza. There's, you know, there's...
Is there any type of a Chicago style or no?
There's no,
no.
Not for Chicago style.
Okay. Okay.
So I kind of branch out into all these other, you know, I competed in Italy, I competed in Classico Italiano, Classic Italian Pizza.
Okay.
I actually competed in Pizza Pala, which was like a 1 meter long pizza.
Wow. Okay.
Which was a lot of fun. Something I, you know, again, I like to kind of push the boundaries a little bit, things that I don't typically do.
Sure.
And like I said, I have great people like Tony, Gimignani, and the rest of the team who really won.
So did you all make the pizza together, or each guy makes his own separate?
We're each competing separately.
Oh, everyone competes separate.
Oh, yeah. We're a team, but we're still, you know.
Oh, I see. So you make your own pizza.
Correct.
So is it, like I said, like just all these pizza makers making pizzas and then they have these judges?
Correct. Basically.
Basically?
That's basically what it
is. And these judges, who would they be?
Well, these judges are experienced pizzaiolos from Italy.
Oh,
so they're you know, they're very specific to the craft. They know what's expected, how it should be done. They watch everything from your oven skills to how you hand prepare the pizza to how clean you leave your station to
even the cleanliness.
Even the cleanliness, wow. How you present it.
Is it one giant room or is it, how do they set this up?
Yeah, there's a big auditorium in Padma.
Okay.
It would be, I mean, if you could just, it's like almost like an expo center.
Okay, yeah.
In Padma where they do these type of things. So it's just a huge hall that's all set up for pizza.
Are there regular people like buying tickets to view this or no? It's basically for the industry.
It's really industry wide. People can get in. You can buy a ticket to come in and watch and, of course, there's so much pizza.
I was just going to say, who's eating all the pizza now? So all these guys are making these pizzas. Who's eating it?
Well, you can imagine the judge. It's typically two bites for a judge would be max. Maybe one, sometimes two, because they're seeing so many pizzas in a day.
Sure.
So we'll do like a crust bite and then, you know.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Try to get it. We'll test the bottoms. They're going to ask you all sorts of questions.
Oh, they ask you questions as well?
What yeast you put in, what, you know, what hydration level, what kind of flour you use.
Wow.
They want to know all this. So what's the temp on your oven? They want to know all these types of
things. So you got to have done your homework and be prepared with answers and really know all of the ABCs of this all.
Well, it's true because you never know what they're going to ask you. They will change every time.
Okay.
So you need to know your product well.
Okay. And then do they do something for, I'll say they announce, you know, winners and I assume you win.
This is televised in Italy, too.
It's so televised. Televised. Wow. Okay.
So, unfortunately, when it's televised in Italy, we're sleeping over here.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
We're just waking up.
Do you get to meet people from all over the world then? I mean, is there a lot of camaraderie amongst all these pizza makers?
It really is. I tell you, the pizza community is just really a nice, really heartwarming bunch of people that really want to help each other out, you know, for the most part.
It's really fascinating. How long were you there?
10 days.
10 days. Okay.
10 days, yeah.
Okay.
So we toured a little bit. Yeah, like we did some, you know, we actually saw Fednet Branca.
The factory or?
The factory where they make it. So again, whole explanation. So every time we go, we hit at least, you know, 2, 3, 4 tours of local stuff just so we can really, you know.
So you're learning as well as
when we go. Sure.
Right.
Sure.
That's great.
And just eating great food and having, you know, like I said, great company.
Oh, it's got to be a hell of a time.
Like-minded people.
Right. And you're making contacts even with these other pizza guys. I'm assuming there's some from New York.
Sure. There's guys from Chicago. There's Gino Rago, Lenny Rago, Bruno Brunetti. You know,
wow. That's awesome.
Sure.
Great. Great. Okay. Well, that leads us to your other. Now, this was this past summer, correct?
This was, right. The last competition was
yes.
In May. Correct.
In May.
Maybe.
So now in, was it June or July?
It was June.
June. So the next month, our guy Tony goes to Las Vegas.
We were actually in Los Angeles.
Oh, you were? Oh, it wasn't in Las Vegas?
It wasn't in Las Vegas.
I'm sorry.
Las Vegas is another pizza competition.
I was referring to the world record.
Oh, the world record was in Los Angeles.
Oh, it was Los Angeles. Okay,
yeah.
I'm mistaken. So now, how did you get involved in this and what is this attempt? What were they trying to do?
So we were trying to break the record, which was established by the Italians in Napoli for the longest.
That makes sense,
right? For the longest pizza ever. So the Guinness Book of World Records went out there probably about a year and a half to 2 years ago. I'm not sure exactly when it was, and they broke the record.
Okay, so, now stupid question.
Yes.
Longest slice. They start. It was in Napoli.
It was,
now were they making a real pizza napoletana type of deal or? Like, here are you guys making more of an American pizza? You know what I'm trying to say? What type of pizza was it?
I wasn't there for the Italian one, but I did see it, and it did look much more along the lines of a Neapolitan style pizza. So,
what were you guys going to do?
Well, we made more,
a thin
more
crust.
Of a hybrid. It was a thin crust pizza, more along the line of a, I guess, kind of a pseudo New York style.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have to plan completely different to do something like this, so... The dough was pre-made and frozen.
Okay.
Because there's no way we could have done it in that quick a time. So it was all prepared and staged in advance in a freezer. Like the whole week before was dough prep. And then,
was your participation due to being at the Pizza Championships? I would assume.
Right. I was asked from Tony Gimignani.
Okay.
He was one of the three that actually organized the event.
Whose idea was this? Was it his?
It was him. Along with John Arena and Giulio Adriani, three great pizzaiolos in this in our country.
Okay.
And, also, one of the oven guys from a pizza oven guy who wanted to use his conveyor oven.
Sure. Okay. Okay. So I have a little write up on it. It said After 22 hours, a team of more than 100 pizza makers from all over the country worked together to create a 6,333-foot pizza in Los Angeles, California, which apparently is over a mile long of pizza.
It is. It's a mile and a quarter long. And, you know,
how wide was it, like width, more or less?
Width was about 20 inches. We couldn't fall below 19 inches.
Okay, so 20 inches is pretty big.
Pretty wide.
Now, okay, I don't get it at all. How do you make? Do you have like, is it on top of charcoal? Is it on, and it's just a mile long of like this? Like, how do you do this?
So we cooked in a conveyor oven. The oven was a conveyor oven.
Okay.
So if you can picture something like you'd see, man, it's almost like, it's almost like saying a bad word, but something like you'd see in Domino's, you know, the conveyor style oven.
Right.
Okay. So in that type of an oven, but the oven actually moved. So we prepped the pizza on a mile and a quarter scaffold, which was about the size of a table height, but it was all scaffolding, which was about 30 inches wide. And we did it in a raceway. So we wrapped around the raceway.
So if I understand you, the oven would be moving, like would cook it a section and move. Cook a section, move, cook a section, move. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. But it gets a little more complicated because we had to pre-cook the entire crust and then finish it on the return pass, if that makes any sense to you.
Oh, my God.
So we pre-cooked it, and then we sauced it, cheesed it, and then on the return...
Don't even tell me you're putting sausage and peppers on top.
No. Okay. The whole idea was we were going to get really creative on the last, like, 30 to 50 feet, you know, just to try to make something a little interesting. But it was, you know, we ended up just going straight cheese.
22 hours. That's
nonstop overnight. Yeah.
So did you guys continuously, or did you have like, okay, your crew takes these 12 hours and the next crew takes 10 hours? I mean, how did that work?
You know, we started realistically with about, I would say there was probably somewhere around 60 people. And literally within the first couple hours, we probably lost them. Big majority of them. I think
you lost them.
Well, I think they just got tired, or they thought it was going to be a little easier than it was. And
there
was a core group of us, and I can honestly say probably the best pizza I own in the country. Really stuck it out. There's about 24 of us.
So this article saying over 100 pizza makers is a little embellished there.
Well, people that came, like, so the following day, people would jump in and help out too. So we had, you know, when it came to like saucing and cheesing it. We even had kids helping us out, you know, because they were just pouring the sauce, and we were basically hand saucing it. So the kids kind of would jump in as long as their hands.
Over a mile of pizza hand, just you would think you'd have some type of a machine over just dropping it.
Well, we had buckets of sauce,
wow.
So we had big vats of sauce with buckets, almost like you would imagine a big winery pouring the wine out.
Yes,
you know, on a big spigot, we were filling, you know, like gallon and a half buckets because 5 gallons would just been too much to put on that.
And was this shredded mozzarella?
It was shredded mozzarella.
Do you know how many pounds of mozzarella?
Yeah, the mozzarella was probably close to 3,000 pounds.
3,000 pounds of mozzarella.
Yeah.
So they had
a total weight of about 13,000 pounds.
So it would take someone to build, or a group to build this type of a table, a scaffold.
Scaffolding company.
And then the pay for all of the dough and the just paying for that in itself. Was that the oven company?
Well,
were there sponsors?
There were sponsors, yes. So cheese, that was, you know, they were sponsors for everything. So sauce, the dough, the oven company, obviously, and they got other sponsors involved too. So, you know, it was my understanding it was somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000 in total expenses that were all donated to this cause from various sponsors.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's $250,000.
That is $250,000.
So you got the record.
We got the record.
And another thing that pops in my head, is everyone's name like associated with this record? How does that work?
Yeah, well, so we're all going to be part of it. So the top three names are the guys that actually started it, like I told you, who applied for it, because you actually have to apply to get a Guinness Book of World Records. And then Guinness actually sends out a proctor to watch everything that you do.
To make sure it's all up and up.
They had a survey guy to measure everything out. She came by to make sure that everything was, you know, it had to be one continuous pizza.
Exactly.
You know, and we had a huge hiccup because we were getting so close to the end. We were probably close to the mile marker, to the 1 mile marker, or just past it. But not sure if we had actually broken the record yet by that point. And then we had a hiccup in the oven where we lost about 30 feet of pizza that just started on fire.
Actually, started on fire.
Yeah, it started on fire because it kind of hooked up underneath and it actually burned. So the pizza burned in the conveyor oven, and then we had to like hurry up, put it back together.
Is there a time limit? Is that why?
Well, from start to finish, we had to go on the final bake. Could only be 4 hours.
Okay.
Because for Los Angeles health requirements, we had to follow their health requirements.
Oh, I see. So, okay.
Yeah, we actually did 6,800 and something feet, but they disqualified about 500 feet.
But you still had the record.
Because of the time limit. And we still beat the record by about 300 to 400 feet. So
that's an incredible. Yeah. I mean, how does it feel?
We would have destroyed the record with 6,800 feet.
You definitely. Yeah. How does it feel to be a part of a world record?
You know, it's amazing. But, you know, you go into it thinking, wow, you know, we're going to make a mile and a quarter pizza. You know, I make pizza every day. You're almost thinking, what's the big deal? But the undertaking to make a pizza of that magnitude.
I don't know how you, how everyone did it.
Absolutely blew me away. How difficult it really was. And I think collectively we all kind of underestimated how difficult it really was.
Really?
I really think so. We know it's a big undertaking, but we're like, you know, we're all pizza guys. So we're like, yeah.
A little cocky getting back from Parma.
Yeah.
No big deal.
And then you're doing it and then you're on like no sleep and it's like, oh, you know, everything's a little more difficult. But you know what? If there's that great, you know, that great jubilation, that great feeling you feel when you actually accomplish it.
And you got to do this, I understand, along with your son, correct?
Yeah, one of my boys, Nick, came with me.
Came with you and was part of this whole thing.
He was part of it. He stayed up all night, worked.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That probably doesn't get any better than all these things you just got to do and do it with your son.
That's what made it really special for me, you know. Obviously, you know, breaking a world record is great, but doing it with your son, I mean, I don't know. That was the first opportunity I've had to break a world record in my lifetime, so...
I don't think they come along very often. So I
hope he has more opportunities than I do. But
that is just great. That is great. Is there any pizza things coming up in the future that we should know about?
Northeast Pizza Show. That's going to be an East Coast thing. That's going to be in Atlantic City. So I'll be competing in that in October. And then there's the Pizza Expo, which is the largest pizza show in the world. That's in Vegas every year, right around March.
Okay.
And then I'll be in Parma again in May.
Next year. You will again.
We'll be there again.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. That's great. JB Albertos, tell us if people want to come see you. They definitely want to try your pizza. Where is it?
So JB Albertos is located, again, in Rogers Park. The address is 1324 West Morse Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. You know, you got
phone number
is 773-973-1700. My email is pizzamn, like pizza man with no A in man, pizzamn at gmail.com if you got any questions.
And I assume you have the web page, Facebook page.
We do, yeah.
Twitter?
Twitter also.
Okay. I say to everyone, go there, try the pizza. It's excellent pizza from obviously an award-winning pizzaiolo. And Tony, thank you so much. I love to do a show like this, an interview with just a good, honorable man, businessman, family man, husband, father, and Italian American. You represent us so well because of all these traits, and you're also very cultural as well, and you're very ethnic, Italian ethnic as well, and you have a pride for Italy and the culture and the language, and it's all good.
Well, Frank, honestly, thanks for those kind words. That's amazing stuff. I really, truly appreciate it. I'm absolutely flattered that you even asked me to be on this show. You know, again, we're all cut out of the same cloth. You know, we come from great families, surrounded by family, food, and, you know.
It's a good piece of cloth. And we got to keep it going. And we got to keep a lot of love. We got to keep this cloth going. So, Tony, thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
And as we always do, we end the show with a little quote of the show, inspirational words. Today's quote comes from John Wooden, the famous college basketball coach, one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. And Coach Wooden said, "Ability may get you to the top, but it takes character to keep you there." So, Tony, thanks again. Everyone go to JB Albertos. And I'd like to wish all the listeners and everyone out there a great Italian-American day.